Hey-oh.
There's always that one person that takes it too far, isn't there?
It's usually you.
It is usually me, to be fair.
in fairness, it is usually you.
Yes, yeah, it is. Right, what's been going on? What's been going on with you, man?
What's been going on with you, man?
Chew
Man? Who's the Chew Man?
Chew Man. Don't know. Who's Chew Man? Chew Man Chew. Chew Man Fu. Fu Man Chew.
Fu Man Chew. This coffee's good, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I can't believe how much you've had. Like you've got like
yeah, I bought a flask in
you've
today.
You've got like a lifetime supply going on.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Is that in that coffee cup thing
yes.
over there? Is
yes,
that where it is?
It is in the coffee cup thing. Yeah.
But because I thought you'd like burnt. It looked like there was an event going on because it looked like the size of an urn. And I was like, no, that's just for Paul.
Just for me to get me through today. Thank
am
you very much.
Not
yep.
allowed that much coffee. As anyone
no,
knows.
That would be dangerous.
No, that would be a sign of the apocalypse. Welcome to We're Gonna Need a Bigger Pod. I'm John Brown.
I am Paul Marsh.
And this is the film podcast for middle-aged men that like to moan about movies, but mainly one in particular.
That occasionally say something nice, but mainly moan.
I can't believe you didn't like Paul things.
I appreciated it, I just didn't enjoy it.
I can't say anything, I haven't seen
it. You haven't seen it yet?
No.
Call yourself a film critic!
Yeah, but I watched like 600 films last
year.
Yeah. So, but a lot of them were revisits of things I hadn't seen in time. So, it was nice. It's almost like I'm going backwards. Yeah, I'm going backwards. Anything I watch at the moment is old films.
I can tell you that Rocky 2 was very good.
Yeah, no, but that's good because I think that sometimes you've got to remember where you came from and kind of revisit why you love what you love and we do what we do.
Mm.
And it's nice to be able to compare that to new films. Some things have aged very well. Especially
even on this, when we talk about classic films, how often do we go, oh, that film's brilliant, I must watch that, and then you never do?
It's because of the 4K transfer. So a lot of stuff getting 4K transfers, and then that reminds me of other stuff that was about around the same time. And then I go, oh, that came out that year as well, and then I go and watch that. Do you know what I've been doing at the moment, actually? Fun fact, for anyone that listens to Dave Joyce, here on Express FM, if you're a listener of Express FM and you hear Dave Joyce, the legend, DJ, every weekday.
Every weekday from
3 o'clock. Yeah, he does a thing called the Mystery Year. And a fun game I've liked to play is, so I have this thing where, because I do 10 million and a half things at once, emphasis on the half, I have this thing where I have to have 2 hours a day that are just mine, for whatever reason. Right, it could be reading, could be painting. I don't paint, but you know what I mean, video games, whatever. And so I've been doing this thing where in order to kind of settle, and I'm sure some people can relate to this, in order to settle there needs to be a clean break between me finishing things and going to sleep, right? And in that small space is just about the right size for a film. So I've been playing a fun game where, and this is where Paul's looking at me from across the room going, all those things that we need to watch, and you're watching, you're doing this. No, so it was, this started over the holiday period, by the way. And so Dave has a mystery year. And then we have this fun game in the office where I can't see his screen, so I don't know what the year is. So I'm playing along like the listener, and I'm guessing, right? And I'm texting him the year, and most of the time I get it right. But then what I do is I go home and I find a film from that year. So this is how it extends into the home, right? I go home and I find a film from that year, and I go, oh, wow, like, I think yesterday was the same year French Connection came out, so yesterday, last night, I watched French Connection again. I was like, what a film that is. So, yeah, it's nice to be able to revisit things but have that kind of connected to work. It's still work, I guess, if we do a podcast
in the loosest possible sense.
In the loosest possible sense. If we do a podcast about classic films, I'm all in.
I watch an old film. I watched a bit of an old film yesterday, and it's not even remotely as close to a good story as that. I watched probably about half of Walk the Line on Blu-ray because my son lost my TV remote. And the Blu-ray was the only thing I could watch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So there you go. So you were forced to...
So I was forced to watch half of that, which, of course, is a fantastic movie. Not as good as an interesting story as yours, because we found the remote eventually.
Did you do a thing as well where you've only got so much time, but you know you need to do something to rest? You end up watching half a film.
No, I try.
Like,
no, I don't. I really try not to do that. Like you say, I have this thing where I try and sit down at 8 o'clock every night and catch up with a film or TV series or whatever it is. But no, if I have half an hour here or there, I generally have shows that I watch that are half an hour long.
Yeah.
So something you can dip in and out of. But, I really try not to put a film on unless I'm going to sit and watch the whole thing, which is easier said than done because we all lead busy lives. But speaking of that, shall we actually get on with the pod?
We can.
I know we're having a lovely chat.
But it's relatable. Like, the other thing was the commentaries. I've got back into commentaries because essentially they are podcasts with visual reference.
Do you know what? There was a point where I really got into those. And then I got out of them again because I was listening to the commentary but wanting to hear the movie at the same time.
Yeah, well, and that's the good thing about that is, I mean, I've watched Dead Reckoning now with commentary on and commentary off. And, you know, if for anyone that has got the Fallout Blu-ray for Mission Impossible, by the way, you get Lorne Balfe's commentary on it, and it's just phenomenal listening. But it is like, it's like a podcast, isn't it? It's essentially a podcast with visual referencing.
As good as this one, though. Clearly.
I don't know. But I mean, to be honest with you, between us and listening to James Cameron tell me how he made Titanic, I've got to be honest and say I'd rather listen to James Cameron telling me about how he made Titanic.
John is going to be sent on a series of how to promote your own podcast seminars.
I think anyone listening to this would be like, nah, to be fair, between you guys and James Cameron.
Love you guys, but going to dip out now. Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, literally, I just listened to, like, I can hear everybody leaving now going, wait, there's a commentary on the new Titanic, on the new, you know, the 4K transfer. Right, I'm off. See you later. Going to put that on right now. Yes, anyway, if you can relate to literally anything we just said, at Need a Bigger Pod, which is where you can find us on all socials, or you can find me for complaints at John Brown TV, at J-O-N Brown TV, or if you want to say nice things because he likes that sort of thing.
Yeah, I like a few compliments every now and again, at Paul Swampy Marsh on socials.
There you go. So, yes, find us there, at Need a Bigger Pod. Right, there is a podcast to be done.
We've got all the usual bits and pieces coming up, including an interview with Natalie Simpson and Nabil Elouabi from Trigger Point Series 2, which is just about to launch here in the UK. So that's going to be coming up a little bit later. And our Tip Top 5 this week is the Tip Top 5 Best Picture winners from the Oscars. What?
You know when you walk in and think, you walk in the studio and go, you're like, did I leave my front door unlocked or the stove on? And I had that feeling when I came and sat in the studio, and I've just remembered why I had that feeling. I've got the Tip Top 5.
You haven't done your Tip Top 5. Well, you've only got, what, 80-odd years to go back? Oh, no, it's got to be coming up to 100 years, hasn't it? So
I have a list of them in front of me, though.
Yeah.
So okay. That's fine.
That's not too bad. Right, okay. So let's go all the way back. Let's have a look at what's been going on in the news in the last week or so. Tron 3 has begun filming, and it is reported that Gillian Anderson has joined the crew.
Yes, it is. And that's a good thing. I mean, Jared Leto's in this as well, isn't he? I think Tron Legacy was a massive comeback. Like, Tron is iconic for many different reasons. Like, more reasons than I care to think about, really, actually, because on so many different levels it was a game changer. I like Tron Legacy because it was Joe Kaczynski who made Top Gun Maverick.
Yep.
It was phenomenal. As sequels go, especially after, you know. So I am excited for a third Tron. I don't know too much about it at the moment. Other than we're finally getting it after 14 years, I think. 2010, I think, was the last.
Yes, it was 2010, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So 14 years. I remember because I went and saw it on Christmas Eve.
Well, in fairness, they're getting shorter. You know, the first one, mid-80s at some point, and then it's gone back to 2010, which is around 25 years, give or take.
I don't remember because we were kind of running around.
No, 35 years, sorry.
We were running around doing some shopping and stuff, and I remember thinking, we need to get into the cinema because it shut early because it was Christmas Eve. And I saw it Christmas Eve. It was great. I loved it. So cool. So cool. So to have Tron, I think it's Tron Ares, isn't it? Or Ares.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So, yeah, to have a third one, I'm very excited about it. How that pans out, I don't know. Jared Leto is always usually good in this kind of thing.
Yeah, I think... I'm a fan of Jared Leto. I know some of the sort of bits and pieces he's done have not sort of necessarily been successful, but I still think he's a great actor. Also, Jodie Turner-Smith, who is fantastic, yeah. and Greta Lee, who is just absolutely climbing up that ladder right now. She's very, very talented. So... all things point to this being absolutely a movie that you're going to want to see.
Yeah, I can always use more Tron. The animated series was great as well. So, yeah, bring it. Bring it, bring it, bring it.
Speaking of movies that you are going to want to see, there is going to be a new Jurassic World movie, potentially...
Potentially
released in 2025.
So David Kep is writing this, right?
Yes, he is.
So, yeah. No, it's funny, actually, because I was looking him up yesterday because of this story... And then randomly, my thing last night was Spider-Man, the original Spider-Man, Sam Raimi's one. And David Kep wrote that as well, wrote the screenplay for that for Sam Raimi. And then I did that thing where I was going, oh, he also wrote the Spielberg version of War of the Worlds. And, you know, he's written many, many amazing screenplays, such as he is. He's legendary. He wrote the one for the original Jurassic, right?
And the sequel.
And the sequel, so Jurassic and Jurassic Lost World. Now, I would argue they're the two better ones.
Yeah, I'd say with that, yeah.
I quite like anything that puts Goldblum in the lead is always a winner. But yes.
So this is going to be a Jurassic World and not a Jurassic Park. Like I did see something somewhere that was like, you know, if obviously you've gone it's from done. Jurassic Park and next is Jurassic World, is the next one going to be Jurassic Space?
But we did this whole thing. We did. I was part of that. You know, I saw it early. I did the whole thing, and we did some really good interviews. I mean, Colin Trevorrow, we actually had on Express to talk about Jurassic World originally.
But the first Jurassic World, I stand by this. The first Jurassic World is very, very good. It's the two sequels that were awful. But this is not going to involve Chris Pratt or Bryce Dallas Howard.
The thing is,
or any of the Jurassic Park cast. We are looking at a completely new story.
Yeah, but we had the six movies, and a lot of the campaign around the sixth film, Dominion. Was this is it? You're not getting any more. This is the grand finale. This is all the cast.
And how much money did it make?
All cast from all six films, all back together. Make sure you step out for this. This is the end of a legacy.
And they brought everybody back, so it was the, you know, the Ghostbusters of the, oh, look at who we brought back, and we're going to integrate them with the new.
Yeah, listen, and then we're going to have a dinosaur movie that's mostly about hornets.
it was so bad. But money talks at the end of the day. And as bad as the film was, it made a ton of cash.
I tell you what, David Kep's involved, that's fine.
Yeah.
Right, bring Spielberg back and you've...
Can you see that happening?
And you've got yourself a biscuit, all right?
I just... Listen, any Jurassic film gets made, it's going to pique my interest. I rushed to the cinema to see the previous two films, even though they were absolutely awful. I still wanted to see them because they're Jurassic films. The problem is, and I've seen, you know, there's the new Ted series that's coming out, right? Have you seen any bits and pieces of that?
No.
So the film with Mark Wahlberg and Seth MacFarlane, Ted, which came out, what, 10?
Oh, no, I know of his existence.
So there is a series coming out, and people were saying, and I've seen bits and pieces on YouTube and what have you, and socials, that the animation and CGI in the new Ted series is better than half of these movies that are coming out right now, including the previous Jurassic films.
Considering this was a franchise that definitively changed the effects game forever.
Right, yes, 100%.
In the first one. To then go to kind of... Yeah, I like... The first one sits on its own shelf, same as Jaws. You know... Like with Jaws. All Jaws sequels are sold separately to Jaws for a reason, right?
Yeah.
Jurassic Park, phenomenal. Jurassic World.
Good.
I would say Jurassic Park followed by Jurassic World in order of greatness.
Yeah, yeah.
And then The Lost World. And then after that, it's kind of a hodgepodge between 3, Fallen Kingdom and Dominion. Do we need any more? No, I don't think so. Like, okay. But if you're bringing David Kep back and you're bringing Steven Spielberg back...
You got your attention.
That's got my attention. David Kep is a phenomenal screenwriter. Like, he's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. But I kind of feel like this. If we bring this guy back, will you all come back?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just...
Similar to what's going on with Scream almost. If we bring Neve back, would you come back?
Yeah, I kind of... I don't know. I mean, if he's got a really interesting story to tell, and I'm sure he has because he's a phenomenal writer, and we'll keep saying that because I've got enough... Like I said, I literally watched a film he wrote last night. Mm. He is brilliant. If him and Spielberg come back to the arena... Colour me interested. Otherwise, it's extinct now.
What would you say out of the six films we've had? Three, would you say, are good?
Out of the six films we had, one is phenomenal.
Yes, agreed.
Two are marginally enjoyable.
I like Jurassic World more than that.
There are, out of six of them, one is outstanding.
Yes.
Two are very good.
Yes.
Three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, no.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens with that one. You know, 2025 is when it's slated for. I'm assuming we'll hear more down the line throughout the year.
Flogging a dead dinosaur.
Another thing that has come about, it's not going to be a movie, it's going to be a series, is a Book of Eli prequel, which is going to be starring John Boyega.
I like Book of Eli.
I like Book of Eli. Yeah. I thought it was very, very good. Very good. I enjoyed that one very much. And I do like John Boyega. It will be interesting to see where it leads to. Obviously, at the end of the day, Denzel is a legend. So, but John Boyega is very, very good as well. So it would be interesting to see where it goes. And I like the fact that they've decided to go with a series with this rather than a movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you can do a lot with that lore, to be honest.
Yeah.
There's a lot you can explore there. It'll be good. John Boyega as well. So that, sign me up.
Yeah.
John Boyega is, I'm guessing he's playing young Denzel.
Yes, I would assume so, but then they know, you know what they say about assumption, but that was what I would assume.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I'm into that.
Right, earlier this week, the Oscar nominations came out.
Nothing for Leo. My man. Mm. Nothing for my man.
Is there anything, I mean, obviously, we know that Oppenheimer was going to get a huge amount of love. We know that. Barbie got some love. Killer's got some love.
Yeah,
Holder's
Barbie,
got some love.
But there's no Margot and no Greta.
But do you? I was thinking about.
I feel like they've missed the point of Barbie literally by having no Greta or no. I know Greta's been nominated somewhere else, hasn't she, for like co-writing or producer?
Is she?
Or her and Margot, I think, got something for.
Down for adapted script, is it?
Well, they've got something as producers, haven't they?
Right. Okay.
But they're not. I don't think Greta's in the directors list, is she?
No, she's not.
Because I know that
she's not, but it is. No, it's. I was going to say it was 50-50, but it's not 50-50 with women. No, you've only got one woman, one female director. Sorry, nominated for best director, and that's Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall.
I think the Academy had a fun day at their Masa Casa Dojo house.
I love that
What's it called, a Masa Casa?
I can't remember something. Casa
Dojo.
Yeah, whatever it is.
But that's
brilliant.
That's what they're calling the Academy, yeah.
Right? Okay.
Because only Ken has a nomination.
Yes, it is humorous. It's interesting.
It just,
yeah,
but it's. Tell me you didn't get the movie without telling me you didn't. Yeah, get the movie.
But
they have literally just.
Do you? So do you think that Greta should be in that best director's?
Yeah, of course you should. There are 10,
in your
this
opinion.
Is the thing I don't get. There are 10 best picture nominations, but only 5 director nominations. Surely if 10 films are very good, then there should be 10 very good directors to go with them, right?
Yeah, I don't agree with the 10 best picture nominations at all. I don't agree with that. So the best directors are Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, Martin Scorsese, Killers of the Flower Moon.
Fair.
Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer.
Fair.
Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things.
Extremely fair.
And Jonathan Glazer for Zone of Interest. So,
According to Sean, the Zone of Interest nomination is very well deserved.
Okay,
he
so
saw it last
in
night.
That case, which of those are you going to drop for Greta?
Well.
And this is always my argument when people turn around and say, they should be in for this, they should be in for that. Who are you going to drop?
Who would I drop? Okay,
yeah.
So give me the list again.
Justin Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, Martin Scorsese, Killers of the Flower Moon, Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things, and Jonathan Glazer for Zone of Interest.
Anatomy of a Fall. Based on personal opinion, Anatomy of a Fall is stunning, but it will. For me, I like Barbie just a tiny bit more.
So you would possibly drop Anatomy of a Fall for.
But then, am I in a position to just. Because I haven't seen Poor Things yet.
No,
I'm
you
coming
haven't.
From a point of view of going, look, if you don't mention Barbie in this equation whatsoever,
look,
that's fine.
I don't disagree.
What I don't understand is how the driving force in Barbie was Greta and Margot, to the point Margot produces the movie, right? And yet neither of those people are in that race. But Ryan deservedly so, by the way. Ryan deservedly, because he's amazing. But
yeah. No, it's a very.
But even he disagrees because he literally made a public statement
so
about it.
So by the fact that Greta has not made best director, Margot has not made best actress, Barbie is in with Best Picture. Would you say that Barbie has probably got no chance whatsoever of winning Best Picture then?
So Barbie is in...
I would say so.
I think that that's fair, that it's in with Best Picture, but you're talking about the five shortlists you gave me was the directors.
Exactly. So I gave you the director's shortlist, and then we have 10 in Best Picture. So would you assume...
It's challenging, because I get where they're coming from. Looking at it from all sides, I get where they're coming from, because ultimately you've got to whittle that down to five, right? And it's a difficult choice because all five directors are phenomenal and they all have earned those nominations. They all have. But if you're going to not involve Greta and you're not going to involve Margot, then don't involve Barbie.
I said with Barbie, I liked Barbie. I thought Barbie was very good. I gave it a 4 out of 5. I thought it was very good. It didn't make my top 10. I have watched it since. I enjoyed it since. I think it's a great movie. Do I think it's one of the best of the year? No, I don't. I think because it is a Barbie movie, that's what picked up the steam ahead.
Was it in my top 10?
I don't believe... I can't remember.
But then again, I'm, you know, from my point of view and because of my condition, I can be very all or nothing. I just kind of feel like if you're gonna throw loads of stuff at Barbie, then put Barbie in.
Yeah.
It just seemed odd to me.
It does have 8 nominations for various different other things.
That's good, but it just seemed odd to me that you were going to put... that. Which means, by the way, if there are 10 in the Best Picture category, that means there are 5 directors in that list that aren't nominated as directors.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who else? We're not just talking about
Greta. The ones that are nominated for Best Picture that aren't in for the Best Director, we've got American Fiction, The Holdovers,
Alexander
Maestro.
Payne. How good is that Holdovers?
Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Past Lives, not nominated.
Again, mm-hmm. I'd put any one of those in.
Yeah. Yeah.
The best way for me, I know we're kind of reasoning this out live, but the thing for me is if you're going to have 10 best pictures, have 10 best directors.
Well, again, this is why I don't agree with 10 nominations on best picture. I think it should be 6, and I think that the 10 is purely a cop out, so they don't have to narrow it down to 6.
Five, because then everything's 5, right? There's 5 in each category.
Yeah. That would make a lot of sense.
That would make a lot more sense. Yeah. And if it was up to me, would I put Barbie in? Probably not. Like that's just like my opinion.
Have you got an opinion very, very quickly? Have you got an opinion with Best Picture of who you either think will win or who you would like to win?
Oh,
because
so
I'd imagine they're
two
totally different questions.
Who
would you like to win out of that 10?
Oh, out of that list?
Yeah. Who would you like to win?
Well, I think who would I like to win that's like Fantasy Football League that isn't... could any film win that is or isn't in that list?
No.
I would say with Mission Impossible.
I know you would,
obviously.
But what I'm saying is from that 10,
yeah.
If you were giving it out, who would you choose?
Remind me of the 10 again.
American Fiction, Anatomy of Fall, Barbie, Holdovers, Killers of Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things and Zone of Interest.
I can't say right now until I've seen them all. Is the fairest answer to that.
Okay, all right.
But like I said, I haven't seen Poor Things yet, so I might want to give it to Poor Things. Let's make this fair. Based on what I've seen, out of those 10 films, of the films I have seen, I'd give it to The Holdovers.
I agree with you. I think I've seen at least 8 out of those 10, and I will see the 2 before the Oscars. I would give it to The Holdovers. That's the film that I enjoyed the most, but I think Oppenheimer will win it.
Right, yeah. So if I had to choose now, but again, I might review this, right, based on when I've seen everything in the list, I might change my opinion. But right now, based on what I've seen, I'd give it to The Holdovers. What I think is Oppenheimer.
Just very quickly, any comments on actor Bradley Cooper, Colman Domingo, Paul Giamatti, Cillian Murphy and Jeffrey Wright? Any thoughts?
Jeffrey Wright or Paul Giamatti?
I haven't seen American Fiction, so I can't comment on it. Colman Domingo is fantastic in Rustin. In my opinion, the movie is not a 5-star. It's good, but it's not a 5-star. But Colman Domingo is fantastic in it. I'd love to see Paul Giamatti win that one. Best Actress is Annette Bening for Naiad, Lily Gladstone for Killers of Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall, Kerry Mulligan for Maestro, and Emma Stone for Poor Things.
Lily Gladstone. Or Emma Stone.
For me...
Lily Gladstone or Emma Stone.
Annette Bening in Naiad is absolutely just phenomenal.
Anyone with stone in the name at this point.
I'm sure maybe the week before we'll have a deeper look into the Oscars and we'll actually set aside some time to talk about it. But that's just a very quick look. And obviously there's a few interesting of what is in, what isn't in. And we'll get into that maybe deeper another time. Let's have a very, very quick look then at trailers. We've only got one trailer to talk about this week.
Before we get into that, should we do like a draft thing? So the week before the Oscars, shall we set out on record?
We'll set some time aside.
What our votes are.
Yeah,
and
let's
then we'll
do that.
See how it pans out.
Right, okay. So if we're going to do this right now, are we doing like a who can pick the most winners?
I don't know. Yeah, like a scorecard. Like,
yeah, I'm happy
we'll
to do that.
We'll write down who we think
is going to win.
What our bets are.
We'll have a little 50p bet on it.
What's
Mortimer and Randolph? We'll have a dollar bet on it.
Yeah, we can do it. Or something like that. I don't know. But I just think it'd be nice to write down game.
We'll write it down who we think is going to win.
Commit it to audio and say, right, okay, here's our guesses.
Yeah.
Not based on personal preference, just here's who we think.
Yeah.
And then we'll see how it goes. I mean, now that I know, going back to the whole Patreon, it's amazing to me that, you know, and even Ryan Gosling has referenced this himself. It's kind of like, is this the whole thing, not just the plot of Barbie?
Well, look, if Will Ferrell pops up at some point, that's all I'm saying, to, you know, actually say he's running the Oscars.
Well, there you go.
So we've only got the one trailer to talk about this week, and it is Hitman by Richard Linklater.
Which, oh, yeah, this looks fantastic.
Again, you know, straight away you sit up and pay attention. And then it's got Glenn Powell starring in the main role as well.
It is about
a professor who's moonlighting as a hitman of sorts for his city police department. And it descends into dangerous, dubious territory when he finds himself attracted to a woman who enlists his services.
I like Glenn Powell a lot. So many times I've mentioned this on this very podcast. I've got a lot of time for Glenn Powell. He is good fun. If you ever get a chance to interview him, he's a hoot. I am very, very happy with his career trajectory at the moment, and he seems to not be able to put a foot wrong. More of this, please.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? It's one of those ones that there are new and up-and-comers, and when they have something out, you go, ooh, yeah, I'm going to pay a little bit of extra attention to that one. It's funny, the comedy, Anyone But You, which is out, and kind of came out a very, very quiet sort of role, because it came out on the same day on Boxing Day as three other films.
But
it's just kept going. It's broken $100 million, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Massive. So I think Glenn Powell is going to have a very exciting future. I think this is going to be a very interesting film. It's got no release date as yet.
Top Gun 3 as well.
Oh yeah. So I think this is definitely going to be one to keep an eye on for the future as well, as and when it gets a release date. Right, let's have a little look at to what is coming out in the cinema this week. You have Samsara, Forever Young, Padre Pio, All of Us Strangers, Baghead, Jackdaw, The Colour Purple, and This Blessed Pot.
Looking forward to quite a few of those.
Mm, yeah, it's
Baghead's an interesting one, because that means something very different from where we're from. Not just where we're. I think there are many people in the
UK. Don't go into that one.
Many people who saw the title of that in the UK went, This is an interesting title. What does this mean? And it transpires it's not about that at all. But I'm very interested in it. I'm quite looking forward to seeing that. I think that's our only one together this week, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We're going to see the other things at different times. Yeah. I just want to, like, I know we've spoken about this off air or off pod. I just want to very, very briefly mention about The Colour Purple.
Yeah.
I find it really, really strange and disappointing that this came out in America, 6 weeks ago or something like that. It is out to rent and buy digitally in America. Mm. And it is only...
Shh, we're not allowed to tell people that.
And it is only just coming to the cinemas in the UK. It feels like a real disappointment.
Well, yeah, I mean, as I said to you before, I asked someone if they'd seen the holdovers, and they said yes, and they, you know, were like... Because I can order it on 4K from the United States and it's here already. I think it was The Holdovers. I can't remember. It might have been The Colour Purple. There was a movie anyway that's already made its Blu-ray and 4K and digital debut in another country. And of course, 4K discs are. We shouldn't really be promoting this and publicising
this. Well, listen,
it.
It's
but
not.
But if it's fair and it's legal, right?
I was just about to say that.
It's entirely legal for that person to pay.
Yep.
I mean, if you're willing to pay the high cost of the shipping and the tax, by all means, go for your life, because like you say, 4Ks aren't region locked. So it's like, well, I can't wait. I think it was the holdovers, because I remember seeing the cover. It was like, well, I can't wait until the end of January to watch holdovers. So he literally bought it.
And he's done nothing wrong. And the other thing with this is obviously with a VPN. So, you know, VPNs are not illegal. Why are you shaking your head for?
Okay, well,
VPNs are not illegal.
No, but how you use them... That's okay, no, we can have this conversation.
Okay.
How you use them is illegal. So
explain, please.
So if you're viewing something in another country or another territory using the internet, that different countries have different laws and policies, right? So, for example, if buying the 4K disc, right,
yeah,
from the United States,
yeah,
was in any way crossing any kind of territorial law, the authority
would
in that country would stop
it being shipped,
yeah,
right, okay,
right? So, but with VPN, it's very different. If Netflix or Amazon or Disney Plus, case in point, I think we have Wonka on digital right now, came out this week, right?
Yeah.
Digital download. Our friends overseas don't get that for another week yet.
Right.
Which is why you're seeing conflicting Instagram,
yes,
stories, right?
Yes.
Because one's for the American release, one's for now.
So if you have a VPN here in the UK,
mm-hmm,
and you keep it to the UK, that's 100% legal, 100% fine, right?
That's fine. But if you switch that VPN
to, let's just say, America...
Paramount Plus is another example.
You cannot,
right,
access American TV legally. Is that right?
Dead Reckoning is coming to Paramount Plus in the United States, I think, this weekend.
Right.
Here it's March.
Right. Again, that just makes no sense to me.
But what you're doing is, if you're logging in with your UK and Ireland resident account,
yeah,
registered to your bank account in the United Kingdom,
yeah,
and you are a resident and citizen of the United Kingdom, and you log into your Paramount Plus UK service, for example, then you have access to all that available content. If you use a VPN to trick the website you're visiting into thinking you're a resident of another country,
gotcha,
you are therefore obtaining that content by deceitful means.
Gotcha.
Whereas if you bought Dead Reckoning, let's say Dead Reckoning wasn't on 4K here yet,
yep,
but it is in the States, and you ordered it, you have to, I mean, by nature of literally having it delivered to your house, you have to disclose, full,
yep,
disclosure, this is coming to the United, yep, Kingdom. And then it's up to whoever on the other side
to
go,
stop it.
No, sorry, yep, you can't do that.
Gotcha.
If that gets let out and sent your way, it's one of those things, isn't it? Actually, I don't want to say it out loud, but what was the, I need to find a very different way to say this that won't get us in trouble. A very famous naughty broadcaster used the word, what was it? Not illegal, frowned upon or not illegal.
Yeah.
Do you know,
yeah,
who I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not saying his name, but it was like, I can't remember the actual saying. People are probably literally at Need a Bigger Pod. Tweet it at me. It was something. It's frowned upon or something, but not illegal.
But not illegal.
Yeah, and that's the case with the shipping of the discs, right? Because it's up to the person selling the disc. It's also up to the authorities. It's up to customs. It's up to literally everyone that. Because bearing in mind, if you order anything from overseas, it hits.
Yeah,
it
goes
so
through
many
all the
checkpoints.
Yeah, all the checks. Yeah,
there, that side. Here, we could receive that here and go, no.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But online, if it's reached your home and it drops through and it hits your doormat, it means at every point along the way, as long as everybody involved has been open and honest about how this was purchased and distributed, has gone, yeah, no problem. If you do it using the internet,
there is,
it's cheating.
Right,
yeah.
Gotcha.
So it's basically their way of going, this content, because what it should say is, if you go to that website, it should either redirect you back to the UK,
yeah,
or it should say this content is not available in your territory.
Yeah.
So what you're essentially doing is conning that website into thinking that you're somewhere else. And that is definitely illegal.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Naughty, naughty, naughty. But again, you take the Dead Reckoning thing of coming out in the States roughly around about now, 3 months' time in the UK. Come on. It's just ridiculous.
In fairness, anybody that's serious about that movie has it already.
I understand, but in this day and age, which is what we're talking about with, you know, the internet and things basically all should just be coming out at the same time, certainly within a week or two of each other.
Yeah.
They should absolutely be coming out. And speaking of that, the holdovers, which is something, you know, a lot of people have seen, and it's only just dropped here in the UK.
Yeah, and it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah. And, boah, what a film.
It's phenomenal. Like, I can't believe... It's very rare. I mean, Wonka was the most recent occasion. But it's very rare where you and I instantly agree and there's no debate.
No.
on how good something is and how mesmer. And I did that thing again, didn't I, that I did at Flowers, where I just didn't move for like the whole, because I was entranced by the holdovers, completely entranced by it. The way it was made, like the 4-3 aspect ratio.
Yeah, which I loved. Like I loved. Literally makes it feel like it was completely made in the 70s.
In 1970, which is when it begins. And, you know, even to the point where you had the 1970 Universal logo.
Nice touch. Nice touch.
And the Focus Features logo was made to look like it was. All that stuff. I love all that stuff. Miramax, which, of course, is now under new management.
Sir, I don't understand.
That's glaringly apparent.
I can't fail this class.
Oh, don't sell yourself short, Mr. Coates. I truly believe that you can.
Every year at Barton Academy, students, faculty, and staff depart the campus for a 2-week winter break. But there are always an unfortunate few who have nowhere to go for the holidays. They're known as the holdovers.
Mr. Hunnam.
Hello, Mary.
I heard you got stuck with babysitting duty this year. How'd you manage that?
You know, he used to be a student, right?
Yeah, that's why he knows how to inflict maximum pain on us.
I thought all the Nazis were hiding in Argentina.
Stifle it, Tully.
You just earned yourself a detention, sir.
Being here with you is already one big detention.
Son of a bitch, that's another detention.
Do you think I want to be babysitting you? No, I was praying your mother would pick up the phone or your father would arrive in a helicopter or a flying saucer.
My father's dead.
It's really, really, really nice to see a film that feels very much like it was made before we were born.
Yes.
And yet is still very relevant in its themes when we look at things like grief and emotion and loneliness and connectivity and things like, you know, in the time of the holidays, you know, we need that togetherness and or that lack thereof in their case. So, yeah, it's a very human story. And I just was completely in love with it. I was like, this is mesmerizing and beautiful and sad all at the same time.
Do you know what I love about this? And it, do you know what it made me think of? It made me think of Coda. It made me think of a film that I think the only reason it's had any kind of notoriety is because of its, you know, it's getting success with regards to awards and bits and pieces. Mm. But other than that, it's had no real like money spent on promotion or anything else like that.
No, I think it's a love letter to the human condition. And
but I love that it's kind of come out of nowhere. Same with Coda. Yeah. It came out of nowhere. People just said, yeah, it's a 5-star movie. They've come out of it and gone, I was absolutely in love with it. And they tell their friends and they tell their friends and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And that's what I really, really like about it. It's just the art of telling a beautiful story.
It is. It's so well done. It's perfection in every measure. And like all of Alexander Payne's films, you start and you spend a lot of the movie going, where is this going? But you're following it. Like, you're intrigued. You're invested from the get-go. And that I think, is all in the characters, in the way the stories are told. You're following conversation to conversation. Same with Sideways, right? You're following these conversations, but you feel as if you're sat at the table. You know, you kind of feel involved in those more complex conversations. And also, say it, performances, music, there's so much going on in this film that you're just in love with it. I just sat there and was mesmerized by the whole thing. It's beautiful. It's, like I said, it's sad, it's happy. There's a lot going on in these performances as well, with just expression. You know, facial expressions.
So do you know the role of Dominic Sessa, who plays Angus Tully? They put it out to open audition.
Right.
And they had close to 1,000 actors come and audition for that. And Dominic, who won, was, you know, I think he'd done some Amdram stuff and some other bits and pieces, but nothing major. It hadn't been in films or anything. And he'd won that part. And he absolutely holds that role to his own, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. I think everybody does. Is it Divine or Divine?
I don't know. I would say Divine,
Joy
I guess.
Randolph.
Divine
Jeez.
Joy Randolph, yeah.
Brilliant.
She's fantastic.
This kind of, she's walking around with this grief and this pain and yet at the same time is so giving and humble.
She's absolutely wonderful, like you say, and I love that, how she flits between the literally not giving a monkeys about anything to just being in deep, deep grief.
Yeah,
about
and
our
it's
life.
It's the fly on the wall aspect I find with Alexander Payne's films as well. Do you find that, especially with Sideways as well? Like you're kind of just you're hovering around this conversation.
Yeah, you get to the fly on the wall. You get to just sneak peek into these people's lives and what's going on with them. Yeah,
but you're engrossed. Like by the time you get to the conclusion of this film, which of course we won't spoil, but you feel like you've been on a road trip with them.
Yeah. Which like you, I know we keep referring back to Sideways, which is I don't know if it was his first movie, but it was one of his first movies. And you keep, you know, it is a very much a road trip kind of a movie.
It is, even though a lot of it takes place in one place,
which is very well done. Yeah,
and then it kind of opens itself out to exploration, which again is all part of the multi-layer kind of. There's a lot of subtext in this film.
I don't think we could give it any higher praise than what we've done when we've both said that out of the films that are nominated, we would like it to win the Best Picture Oscar. And I think that says everything we need to say.
That's holding over to quite literally holding over.
Boom, boom.
We're holding that until I've seen everything. But yeah, for now, out of the ones I've seen, I think the Holdovers is the one. And it's the one that bowled me over that I didn't expect.
The Holdovers bowled you over?
It's just, you know what I mean, when you're kind of sitting there going, hang on a minute, of all the films that I would have expected to, you know, Oppenheimer and everything else, this was the one film that came along and went, oh wow, I had no idea.
Yeah, I think I was probably expecting like a 4 out of 5, and I was probably expecting to like it, and I thought it was probably going to be okay, but I didn't think I would go, oh wow, that was just stunningly beautiful.
Yeah, it was. It's beautifully done, and it's, as I keep saying, at times it's very funny.
It's very heartbreaking. There's some really, really sort of devastating moments in there.
Yeah, there are.
Really
are you hungry or am I?
That's me.
That's you.
Yes, me.
Okay.
Glad you heard that.
It's because of the time we record it. It's always just before lunch.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I can't. Again, it's very rare that we walk out of that and go, well, that was perfect. And then we've got nothing more. But it's funny, isn't it? It's like with sports. You know, when something's awful, you can do a 25, 30
minute. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
But when something's great, it's like, oh, it's just perfect.
Yeah.
I don't know what else I can say. It's the highest accolade I can give this film. It's just absolutely wonderful. Alexander Payne knocking it out of the park again, as he did with Sideways and other films. Yeah, 5 stars. The Holdovers.
Completely agree. 5 stars.
It's got a 15 certificate. It's in cinemas and theatres right now. Well, actually, I say it's in theatres. It's on Blu-ray digital and DVD if you live across the pond. But yeah, grab a copy of it if you are stateside.
If you're in the UK, go to the cinema.
Yeah,
honestly, go to the cinema and watch it.
It lends itself well to you know, cinematography and so forth. Yes, by all means. That easily the film of last week for me.
So moving on to the other film that is out in the UK cinemas as of last week was Mean Girls, which of course...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mean Girls is... Or it was a movie in, I want to say, 2004? Something like that? 2003? It was a movie by you know, literally a cult classic movie.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
The original is just phenomenal. And they took that movie and they turned it into a musical.
Okay.
And they turned it into a musical and put it on the stage. And it was a play, a musical play for a long, long time. And then somebody went, let's take that musical play and turn it into a film.
So this is a musical movie about a musical based on a movie.
Something like that, yeah.
Right, I'm with you now. You saw this. I didn't see this. You damn near froze to death watching it. Well, it's funny because I only had time. I remember saying to you, I'm only going to get time to do one of these, and it was Holdovers or Mean Girls. And I literally walked past you and said to you, I think either on your way,
something like that.
It was before you'd seen Mean Girls, and I said, why do I get this feeling that out of the two, the one I went for was Holdovers is probably going to be the better one. How right was I?
Well, so before I get to that, Mean Girls, there is enough of the original to keep to the same storyline.
Yeah,
okay?
See, the original's great.
There is enough of it to keep there. There is enough original actors in this as well. Tina Fey is still the person behind everything. She still plays Ms. Norbury.
Excellent.
Tim Meadows still plays Mr. Duval, which is very, very good.
May I have everyone's attention, please? We have a new student.
What's up, Katie?
Are you trying to make the rest of us feel dumb?
I'm not trying to. It's just happening.
Dear God, woman.
Get in, loser.
Regina George is a scum-sucking life ruiner.
Why is he by our table?
I can hear you, by the way.
Can you hear me now?
I don't care who you are.
We're going to make her pay.
Girls are made deranged by what's called hormones. W-H-O.
What is going on?
There is a lovely little cameo from Lindsay Lohan, which I'm not spoiling because it's literally been all over the news, but it's a nice little a cameo from Lindsay Lohan as well. But the new cast are mostly very, very good. Even from the main actresses, Angourise Rice, who plays Katie in this one, Renee Rapp, who plays Regina. I never say this name right, and I'm going to apologise. The lady who played Moana, is it Oali Carvalho?
Okay.
Yeah, okay, you don't know any better than me, brilliant. Who plays Janice, and Jaquel Spivey, who plays Damien, and the whole rest of the ladies. They're all fantastic. They all absolutely nail their roles, you know. And then you got cameos from John Hamm and Ashley Park as teachers and things like that. So the cast is really, really great. There's enough. How can I put it? There's enough of the original story to keep the people who've seen the original with the story, to keep it going along, so you know where everything is going. There's enough difference from the musical to make it feel like you are watching a new film. There are certain, not extended scenes, but certain scenes are slightly different because they have to now fit in the musicals and the song numbers and everything else like that. So I think that if you've seen the original and you love the original, you're going to enjoy this one from a slightly different perspective. If you're young enough and you've never seen the original and you can watch this with completely fresh eyes, it will give you that incentive to go back and watch the original as well. Like I say, the vast majority of these actresses and actors are just great. I have to say, I was really pleasantly surprised by this. I did not expect to like this at all.
Like, you make it sound like it was going to be terrible. I know, I literally joked with you because I said, I can only do one of these. And I'm guessing, just from gut reaction, I probably got the slightly better one of the two. That being said, I didn't want to undermine Mean Girls in any way, just to be clear. But time was of a premium. But I know that you, I think, were expecting a lot worse.
I was not expecting to like it at all. I was certainly the only single male in his 40s.
You're a single male?
Yes, yeah. No, on my own in the cinema. Yeah, I will be after this. Yeah. So I'm sitting there going, oh, this is not for me. They have not made this movie for me.
No, I know. That's not the job you signed up for.
But within 5 to 10 minutes of the film starting, I'm sitting there giggling like a schoolgirl. I thought that some of the jokes in there are absolutely brilliant.
Sorry. You giggling. The idea of Paul Marsh giggling like a schoolgirl.
It is. It's very, very funny.
On a Wednesday morning in a cinema surrounded by teenage girls is either deeply disturbing or highly amusing or maybe a hybrid of both. No, quite seriously, all joking aside, I've only heard good things about this.
Now, if I have to pick a hole as to why it's not given a 5 out of 5 and it's not up to the original sort of legacy, some of the songs are, I mean, like, especially if we're coming off the back of Wonka, right? Some of the songs are not as catchy as they could be. Some of the songs are very good. Some of the songs are not quite as catchy as they could be. Katie, I thought, was very, very good. Regina, played by Renee Rapp, very good in her own right, but does not live up to the original, unfortunately. Right. There was something very evil about the original Regina, and I don't think she quite lives up to it. Whereas other characters like Karen, Janice and Damien, and Gretchen as well, all just really, really good. So, look, I really enjoyed this. I think I've already thought about going back and taking my daughter to see it because I think she would really, really like it. If that sounds like your type of thing, I think that you will really, really enjoy this. I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Four out of five. Paul Marsh.
Not perfect, not as good as the original, but still very, very enjoyable and very, very good.
Okay, so that's The Holdovers. That's in cinemas now. 5 stars from us for that. And Mean Girls, 4 stars from us for that. If you haven't seen those yet, go and check those out right now.
Right, so coming to streaming, we have Expats, which is a series starring Nicole Kidman. That's coming to Prime. We have Masters of the Air, which I'm very much looking forward to. That's coming to Apple TV.
We lead our boys through all that we do. Day in, day out. That's something to a guy, doesn't it?
We're here to fight the monsters. The things these people are capable of, they got it coming. Trust me.
Lord, guard and guide the men who fly through the great spaces of the sky.
Are we Tuskegee men or what?
Sir, yes, sir!
Be with them traversing the air in darkening storms or sunshine fair.
I think we may be done.
We are going to sit here and take it.
We're going to stick with our mission as long as we can fly.
We won't go without a fight.
It's not a Scooby-Doo film.
No. I went, ooh, like that, and then I was about to open my mouth and say a load of things I'm not allowed to say yet. So we'll move on.
Excellent podcasting, John. Thank you very much. Here's a load of stuff that I can't say.
maybe want to check a certain account of yours. Anyway.
Check legalities before
mine.
Or yours, yes. So
mine.
That's coming to Apple TV. If
Masters of the Air is this Friday.
I think
Friday.
It's out now. Yeah, it's literally out this, more or less as we speak.
As we speak. So by the time you hear this, it will be out tomorrow. I don't know.
Something like that.
It's out
yeah.
on Friday the something.
26th. Something.
Friday the 26th of January? Yes, it will be on Apple TV Plus. Do check it out. By all accounts, only hearing good things. I did that very carefully.
Well done. Well done, you. And then very finally, something that is dropping, and it is a movie, and it is coming to Prime. It's coming to Prime. It's The Underdogs.
America loves a superstar.
I'm Jason 2J's Jennings. I was a football legend.
But once you reach the mountaintop of greatness, everybody wants to see you fall.
2 days this guy smoked.
Damn!
You pled guilty to charges of speeding and damage to city property. I'm recommending community service with the Long Beach Recreations Department.
I thought I was getting like some Martha Stewart kind of treatment.
Now, you know that whole judging a movie by its cover type thing? Mm-hmm. So this is a film starring and made by Snoop Dogg, and it's about American football.
Okay. All right.
That's all I'm going to say. So it's coming to Prime. I will watch it. I will let you know what it's like.
I feel like that's a combination that requires entertainment, like that would provide.
I think it's a family movie.
So is he like a coach or something?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sign me up, man.
I'll be honest, I haven't done like a load of sort of research into this one.
Sunday afternoon 3?
Possibly.
Is
yeah.
that where you're going?
Somewhere around there.
It screams Sunday afternoon.
Yeah,
three.
Probably.
We'll see.
And then out right now on Netflix is The Kitchen, which is directed by Daniel Kaluuya and starring Kano.
Okay. I haven't seen that yet. I'm into it.
It's how can I explain this?
You've seen it.
I have seen it.
Okay.
It's got a fantastic cameo in it. It's not even a cameo. He's in right the way throughout the movie, to be fair. Ian Wright's in this.
Yeah, I was going to say Ian Wright's in it, and you were like, oh, fantastic cameo from Ian Wright. Like,
so,
what do you regard as a cameo?
Well, so he's not in it lots, but he is in it right the way throughout the movie, if that makes sense.
Did you enjoy my cameo in this podcast?
I wish you only had a cameo in this podcast.
I wish you only had a cameo.
Yeah.
Your face is a cameo. Right, come on. Where are we going?
Right, so how can I start? So basically, let's just talk about what the film is actually about. It's set in a dystopian future in London, where all social housing has been eliminated. And
you mentioned this last week.
Yes, I did, yeah. And they are fighting to navigate the world as residents of The Kitchen. So almost like, you know, you get the favelas of Brazil and what have you.
Like
the
Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
Hell's Kitchen
so,
in New York.
So it's now in London. They've got an area called The Kitchen. It's a community that refuses to abandon their home. So every now and again, the police turn up and try and rip people out of their homes, and they have to go and sort of bolt all the doors and everything so they can't get in. What I will say is Daniel Kaluuya and Kibwe Tavares have tried something very, very ambitious with this movie. This is a combination of Do the Right Thing. It's got very much Do the Right Thing vibes about it. What was the film set in the future, a dystopian future, set in South Africa? District 9. District 9.
Yeah.
Has vibes about that.
It's not a terrible thing.
No, well, this is the thing.
It's Blomkamp,
so it was Neil Blomkamp. It tries to be a lot. Does it succeed? I'm not 100% sure. I've seen incredibly mixed reviews about this. I've seen some people giving it 5 out of 5, saying it's the, you know, the new Messiah and the next coming, and then I've seen other people giving it 1 out of 5, saying it's the most boring film you've ever seen in your life. So I think you have to be realistic and say it sits somewhere in between.
It's like, if you're telling me this is Neil Blomkamp meets Spike Lee, that's a high bar.
Well, it is, and this is the thing. So this is what they've tried for. Some of the CGI work, some of the cinematography is just beautiful. It's absolutely phenomenal. I will not say a bad word about Kano, because I remember when the guy was a rapper and he was here in the studios and came into one of my last ever shows on Express, probably 14 years ago, whatever it was. So I'm not going to say a bad word about the guy, because he's actually become from a rapper into an incredible actor. He's very, very good in this. Very moody. Kind of doesn't say a lot, but acts a lot with his eyes and his facial features. So he's very, very good with that.
Unlike you.
Unlike me, who has to say a lot, because it's a podcast and it would be incredibly boring if I didn't say a lot and acted with my eyes.
You're very, very moody.
I'm very moody, yeah. I just think that it struggles to achieve, it struggles to captivate your viewer, I think, is what it does. It's got some great, you know what we were just saying about the holdovers, where it feels like you're watching, peering in on a conversation. Well, this is exactly the same, but it's like the conversation's not that interesting.
Okay.
So their day-to-day life of having to survive, having to try and better themselves, having to avoid the police, and all of that kind of stuff is all very, very interesting. I just don't think it hits the peaks that it wants to hit. I think it's a very ambitious film. I think it tries very hard to do certain things. And I think that if you like moody, arty films, you will probably very much enjoy this. If you are looking for the next Top Boy or something like that, it's not that at all.
Okay. So you're hovering over a 3,
I am. I'm sat on a 3. I think it tries very hard. I think it has some very, very good things about the movie. I just don't think it hits all of its targets.
Okay.
So I will give it a 3 out of 5, yeah.
That's for The Kitchen, and that's on Netflix.
It is on Netflix, streaming right now.
There you go.
Right, so let's look at something else that is dropping on Sunday. It is coming out, so literally just a couple of days away on Sunday. It's coming to ITV1 and ITVX. And if you so enjoy it, you can watch the whole series on ITVX as of Sunday. And that is exactly what I will be doing, because I got to watch one episode of the second series of Trigger Point, and I can tell you it was absolutely phenomenal.
What's she doing?
Ah, sit, Rep. What's going on?
We've got a timer. Our actions must have set it off.
How long?
30 seconds.
Okay, get out of there.
Hold cover!
Get back! Take cover!
Hold cover!
Take cover!
Who misses a timer?
I swear, no, will you just
all
shut
right.
up? I'm replacing the disruptor.
Let's get away from there!
Come get down.
Move! Get away!
10 seconds, huh?
Debbie, take the shot! Take the shot!
Firing!
So Trigger Point Series 2, of course, is the drama series following Lana Washington, amazingly played by Vicky McClure, as she works as a bomb disposal officer for the Metropolitan Police here in London. And if you watch Series 1, you'll know exactly what you're getting. If you haven't seen Series 1, I very much urge you to go back and watch it. You can do that via ITVX. It is absolutely tension-filled. I mean, they're bomb disposal officers, right?
Yeah.
But there's no easing into the storyline or anything else like that. It just throws you knee-deep into it. It's just so much tension that doesn't let up throughout the episode, and I would imagine the whole rest of the series.
Okay. So you got to watch just the one.
I got to watch just...
That's frustrating.
It is, and literally that is exactly how I start the interview. Funny you should say that, because it's like a bittersweet thing, isn't it? It's a blessing and a curse when you get these advanced series, and they send you one or two or three episodes. And you go, oh my God, this is amazing. I want to watch the rest now. And you go, it don't come out for another 2 weeks. But I really, really liked it. I thought it was absolutely excellent. It picks up nicely from where the first series left off. So like I say, if you watch the first series, you'll love it. If you haven't seen it, please go back and watch it. I would highly recommend this. I think it comes out on ITV1, 9 o'clock on Sunday evening. But like I say, the whole series is available to watch from Sunday morning on ITVX.
Okay.
And I was really, really lucky that I got to speak to Natalie Simpson and Nabil Elouabi, who are actors in the amazing TV show that is called Trigger Point. It's Paul Marsh here on Express, and I'm delighted to say that I am joined by Natalie Simpson and Nabil Elouabi from Trigger Point Series 2. Welcome, guys.
Well, thank you for that wonderful
Great introduction.
Yes, smooth, baby. Wonderful. Really happy to be here.
It's always really, really funny when I get sent these interviews, and obviously we get to see the series or some of the series a little bit ahead of schedule. It's bittersweet because it's so good, but I get so frustrated that I then have to wait so long to watch the rest of the series.
I know, yeah. It's pretty annoying, I guess. But you have, what, 5 days left?
Yeah.
5, 6 days?
I think I can just about wait that long. It was so
hold
good.
On. And or you could just rewatch it every single night.
And then you can just binge the next day.
Yeah, because it all gets dumped on the same day. So you can just sit in your pyjamas. And
Exactly.
You know.
That is exactly what is planned. I already said to my wife, I said, right, you know what we're doing? And that was it. It's all planned in.
Is she still your wife?
We'll see. Right, tell us about your characters in the show.
Yes, I am DS Helen Morgan, Detective Sergeant Helen Morgan, and she's a new member of the specific police team. And she's also introduced as Tom, who's played Tom's girlfriend, that's played by Mark Stanley. And so we get to see her character in relation to Tom, in relation to her new position, but also in relation to Lana, because of course Lana is Tom's ex, I guess. That's how we start the season two. So, yes, she's a contentious figure in their lives.
Indeed. And I think it's, I'm the one who tells Lana.
You
I
do.
Believe. Yeah.
Snitch.
So, my, thank you. I play Hass Rahim, Expo, alongside Lana Washington, played by Vicky McClure. And we see Hass back in the fray. But this time, Hass has actually been running the show whilst Lana's been away. And we see him kind of wrestle with her coming back and what it means to have her back. And he has a great deal of affection and respect for her. But also, you know, he's enjoyed the stability and the calmness whilst that she's been away. And she comes back and she, you know, she kind of ruffles his feathers a bit. So we'll see how that plays out. But so that's Hass.
How much research did you both do into your characters and the line of work, the profession?
I was very lucky, actually, because serendipitously, I think is that the word, I was one of the drivers on the job, John. His son is a warden for one of the prisons in London, and he was kind enough to give me a tour of the prison, but also give me I got to speak to some of the people that worked there and, you know, how the whole system works when someone's booked into police, into the prison, how long they stay and where they go next. And it was just really, really interesting for me to see behind the scenes of that. So, yeah, that was a bit of accidental research I got to do when I was on the job.
I was very lucky. Well, we were lucky. The Expos were lucky to have X-Forces and an actual Expo. We had Paul Bittis and Joel Snar. Now, Joel was really my main person of call. He had done several tours in Afghanistan and had, you know, defused many bombs. I mean, just an very incredible guy, and couldn't do enough for us. Was there all the time. Really cared about how these things were done. Understood that there was an obligation to the you know, the armed forces to make sure that we portrayed these guys and gals correctly, and he was fantastic. So that was him.
Mm. Now, obviously, with the second series, I think this is a show that you just don't say no to, isn't it? I mean, every time they make a series, you'll say yes until you get killed off.
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much how I feel, to be honest.
Why would I want to be part of a, you know, hit show? Why? It's crazy. Why would I do that?
Ew.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is too good and too.
No, can't do it.
No, can't do it. No, absolutely. It's a joy. Yeah. Joy to, and we've got our fingers crossed. If then, you know.
For season three, exactly. Yeah. We'll see. Yeah.
Now, the makeup and the practical effects are just amazing. Mm-hmm. How is it working with that amazing crew?
Oh, amazing. I got on so well with Red. She was head makeup.
She's amazing.
She's
Red's
so
great.
Lovely. Honestly, yeah. It was the best time just being in the makeup truck in the beginning of the morning. It just like sets you up for the day.
I mean, look, you're spending 12 hours with a group of people mm-hmm. for, you know, 5 or 6 days a week, okay?
Yeah.
And the one thing that I've been doing this 20 years, and it never ceases to amaze me how how hard work the crew work, and how, I don't say little they ever get kind of validated, but honestly, it's all about, it really is all about the crew.
They're just there,
beginning and end, and have to deal with temperamental actors coming in, complaining about staying until the end of the day.
We'll and, come you know, in late yeah, and be yeah, like, oh, I didn't sleep.
What time do we finish? What are the sandwiches? You know, it's like, but in all seriousness, this group of people, they were really wonderful, really, you know, heart-centered people, and I really love that.
Yeah, me too.
Except Natalie.
I always think of it as a bit like a pyramid, where obviously you have your main stars right at the top, and then you got your supporting actors underneath, and then underneath those supporting actors, it is, you know, your entire crew, and they wouldn't be able to stand there if it wasn't for that entire crew holding them all up as well.
I think you're absolutely.
Do you know what? I've done a lot of theatre before I sort of moved into screen, and my experience of coming onto screen was that. It's like this amazing, beautiful cake that's been cooked, and then you're like the tiny little sprinkles that get put on top.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like, because there's just so huge. It's so much bigger than I could have ever imagined. And
I totally agree.
And then we just sort of stand on at the last minute and be like, blah, 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 blah. Bombs.
Look at how great I am.
And then we just sort of, you know, F off. And then they just, it's just, that's basically
and
what
art,
it feels like.
The art department and setting up, I mean, all the stuff in the car park. I mean, just, there are set pieces which are really well put together. And you just think about the amount of work that's taken to execute that level of kind of, it's just brilliant. It's just, you just kind of doff your caps to them. So.
And it makes our job so easy, because it's actually
100%.
You don't have to suspend disbelief. And you know, when you're in theatre, you're like, is that actually a cupboard or is it a box? You know what I mean?
The entire show is built on tension. What's it like off camera? Do you get to have much of a laugh, or does it stay serious?
Oh, no.
The whole thing was a laugh.
It's a comedy offset.
And also, I was bringing in board games.
Yeah.
So we'd be doing really high tense scenes like, oh my God, London's going down. Like, should we play Blockbuster, guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Or we play, you know, Name That Country or whatever. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the joy. And what is nice is that people didn't scurry off into their little kind of, you know, silos. Everybody just kind of hung out. And I think that was really nice. It was a real kind of... It felt like a group experience, and that's I personally really enjoy that.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I say, I was privileged enough to watch the first episode. It is absolutely fantastic. I will be binging the entire series when I get a chance to on Sunday when it comes out on ITVX.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you guys so much. The show is absolutely amazing. Long may it continue.
Thank you. Take care. Have a great day.
There we go there. Natalie Simpson and Nabil Elouarbi. It's very difficult to kind of rate something off of one episode, but from the one episode I've seen, I would absolutely give it 5 out of 5. It was just phenomenal TV. And like we said in the interview, it's just, you know... As actors, would you ever say no to a massive hit TV show? No, of course you wouldn't. So, you know, it's understandable that this is going to be huge, and I think it's going to run for as long as it keeps up these standards, it's going to run for a very, very long time.
ITVX, right now.
ITVX.
If you are here in the UK, by all means. Or ITV1 Sundays at 9.
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
There you go.
Right, so that is what we're looking at with our streaming and bits and pieces. A very quick look at the digital 4K and Blu-rays, what's coming out. So the Doctor Who The Collection Season 17 is coming out as well.
Yeah. Is that the highlight for this week? I didn't look. Is there a list over there?
Yeah, I've got a list, yeah.
Good. That's ramping up towards something amazing.
It is, yeah.
That collection, if you were... building that collection, you'd be a fan, and if you're a fan, then you'd want to know more about that sort of thing, wouldn't you?
Anyway, moving on.
more on that in a future.
How are we teasing something?
Are we teasing something? Nothing at all, nothing. Sir. Nothing at all, sir.
Move along. Nothing to look at. Nothing to look at. Moving along here. On your way, street urchin.
Well, don't call our listeners street urchins.
No, they're much better than that, aren't they? They're high class urchins.
So the sounds of your stomach, you can't even afford bloody food, man.
I can't. I'm starving. Right, let's get through it so I can eat. High tension limited edition 4K Blu-ray and DVD.
Are you right there, Aladdin?
Yeah.
Does that make me the
monkey?
You've
lost me. Where was I going?
Am I the monkey if you're Aladdin?
Yeah, I'd say that's probably about right. I'll start calling you a boo.
You've never had a friend like me. Right, come on.
I mean, you're definitely not the genie.
No.
Trolls Band Together, Blu-ray and DVD, which is great if you've got kids. And finally...
I love how you gently tiptoed past that.
And finally, V4 Vendetta is coming out on 4K and Steelbook.
I would say the pick of the lot there was the V4 Vendetta 4K Steelbook, to be honest.
I'll be honest with you, I don't think I've seen it.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, I've heard
Natalie Portman. Oh. Yes, yeah, superb.
Yeah.
And Hugo Weaving? Is Hugo Weaving? Yeah. Sure of it.
Right, I was just thinking.
I always get it confused. He's an amazing actor. And, you know, Mr. Smith.
Yes.
From The Matrix.
Yes, I do know, yeah.
Yeah, V for Vendetta.
No, I'd already moved on and was thinking of something else.
V for Vendetta. I'm going to say that's my pick of the week for discs.
Right then, time for our tip top five. We are going to do, in honour of the Oscar nominations being announced yesterday, we are doing our tip top five best picture winners from the Oscars. So you've got roughly almost 100 years of Oscars to go back over and choose your favourite films. And this is winners only. Do you know what the one thing that I really found actually from going back through all the different years is over the last, I don't know, 10 to 15 years, I think that this has really got a little bit arty and snooty and things like that. Whereas if you go back...
Snooty?
Yeah, I know, the Oscars, right? Snooty, never would have thought it. But if you go back through the years, you've got some real mainstream blockbuster movies that have won Best Picture, whereas I can't remember the last mainstream blockbuster movie that won Best Picture. Not for a long, long time.
No. What, like a box office?
Yeah.
So I'm just looking at them now. This makes great listening, doesn't it?
Yeah. Do you want me to do mine while you have a little flick?
Oh, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
King, yeah.
Was that Best Picture?
Yep, it was.
So it was. Yeah, well, it would have been then, 20 years ago.
There you go.
We're going to need a bigger pod. Tip top five.
So, are you ready to go, Mr. Brown, or do you want me to go?
All right. Well, that's fine. Let's get this done. I'm going to say, out of the five, I'll tell you what I'll do. What's that? When was 1970? I'm just trying to think of the year. Hang on a minute. It's 10, 50 something years ago. Okay. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to pick one from each decade.
Okay.
All right. So, from the 70s. I'm going to say, and so you keep count of how many.
Yeah, I'm keeping count. I have five fingers ready to go.
You have five fingers. Okay, from the 70s, I'm going to say and the first one in my top five is going to be, that's tight, but Rocky.
Okay.
Rocky.
Number one, Rocky.
Okay, from the 80s, I am going to say, that's tough. It's tough, but I'm going to say... Gandhi.
Oh, wow. Didn't see that coming, but okay.
From the 90s. Oh, that's even tighter. Okay. That, by the way, is going to get clipped up and used somewhere else, isn't it? Titanic.
Okay.
How many is that so far?
Three.
Okay. From the teenies, the 2000s.
The noughties.
The naughty. That's the one. I don't know. Weird names, haven't they? I am going to say, No Country for Old Men.
Four.
Okay, I've got one left.
One left to go. From the tens.
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Okay, that's your five.
That's my five. See, that was very diplomatic. I'll pick one from each decade.
Okay, so mine, in no particular order, I might add, No Country for Old Men, mm-hmm. which I love. I think it's just the best movie. Now, I was going to try and cheat and have The Godfather 1 and 2 as one entry.
No. Because I literally just went, Rocky or Godfather 2? Rocky or Godfather? And I was like, out of those two movies, Rocky's the one I'd put on every time.
So I will go with The Godfather 2 then, if that's the case. Coda, which I am absolutely still in love with, and I just think it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Everything Everywhere All at Once, which again... just phenomenal. And for my final entry, I'm going to say Oliver.
Good. Yeah, that sound. Happy with that.
Love Oliver, and it's something that I've watched my entire life.
I kind of feel like that was an inspirational influence on Wonka as well.
Very much so. Yeah, very sure. much so. Okay, let's get to the listeners' tip top fives. The We're Gonna Need a Bigger Pod listeners' choices. Okay, then, here we go. Here are our listeners'. We got a lot of these, by the way.
Yeah, we did.
A lot. So we got
Thank
a lot.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much. So here are our listeners' tip top five best picture winners from the Oscars. So, Ally McNiff in no particular order. No Country for Old Men.
Yay!
The Departed. Dances with Wolves. The Gladiator. Sorry, The Gladiator 2. The Godfather 2 and Gladiator. I made a new movie that's coming out yet.
Yeah.
A future Dances Oscar
with
winner.
Wolves. Yeah. Again, Dances with Wolves was another one that got hovered very close to the top of my list.
Wayne Johnston said Forrest Gump, which made my shortlist, Braveheart, Gladiator, Titanic and Coda.
Forrest Gump was his number one, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Daryl Mansell says Moonlight, Godfather, Godfather 2, Lawrence of Arabia and Casablanca.
Good choices.
Brian Martin says Godfather 2, Casablanca, Lawrence of Arabia, The Sting and No Country for Old Men.
Again, The Sting was close.
Julia Minty says number one, Oliver. Number two, Titanic. Number three, The Sound of Music. Number four, Around the World in 80 Days. And number five, Rain Man.
Thank you, Julia, for supporting Titanic. I kind of feel like I'm on an island with this one.
I think it's a very, very good film. Ryan Elliott was either incredibly lazy or has run out of fingers. I'm not entirely sure which it is because we've got a tip top four from Ryan. Number one, The Godfather. Number two, Annie Hall. Number three, Godfather 2. And number four, Tom Jones.
Ah, good choice.
James Secker, number one, No Country for Old Men. Number two, almost as bad as your clip, wasn't it? Almost. Country is the word I was looking for.
That's in the bingo folder.
James Secker, number one, No Country for Old Men. Number two, Forrest Gump. Number three, Silence of the Lambs. Number four, The Hurt Locker. Number five, Chicago. Talia Henry, number one, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. Number two, Gladiator. Number three, Titanic. Number four, Rocky. And number five, Braveheart.
Ah, see, Braveheart I wanted to pitch higher as well.
Micah Joseph Loving, number one, Birdman. Number two, In the Heat of the Night. Number three, Godfather Part Two. Number four, Parasite. And number five, No Country for Old Men.
Oh, In the Heat of the Night.
Tom Jurak, number one, Casablanca. Number two, All About Eve. Number three, Apartment. Number four, Godfather. Number five, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Yeah.
Veronica Educatrix Jones, number one, Godfather. Number two, Amadeus. Number three, Moonlight. Number four, Casablanca. And number five, The Sting. And very lastly, literally just coming in before we recorded, Jordan Moss with number one, Gone with the Wind. Number two, Casablanca. Number three, The Godfather. Number four, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which very nearly made my top five. And number five, The Unforgiven.
Yeah, I'd say Unforgiven and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest as well.
Yeah,
that was tough. I mean, I'm kind of glad I did that on the fly, because if I'd have sat there, it'd be in a week before I'd actually decided, because I would just kept reordering and reordering and reordering. So many good choices.
It's tough, right?
I literally looked at the list from each decade and went, I'm going to pick one of these that I'd put on right now.
Yeah,
and that's how I got there. But yes, thank you very much to everyone for sending those in. I think that's us for this week.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, awesome. Okay, I'm off to watch Viva Vendetta again, because that is amazing. And Paul's actually, no, I'm not going to lend it to Paul because he hasn't seen it.
I haven't seen it. That's on my homework list.
Well, there we go. Thank you very much to Simon Bruce. He is the voice you cannot hear, but I assure you he is very much present in terms of editing and making us sound great and producing us and all our wonderful jingles and sound effects and everything else. Thank you to you, Simon. We still can't find your tip top five. I'm very sorry about that, but we do love you nonetheless. Thank you very much to you, Paul. Thank you very much to Express FM Studios, which we are currently recording. For some reason, it's unfathomably cold. And thank you to the View Cinema in Gunwall Wolf Keys here in Portsmouth. You can find your nearest view at myview.com. And that, I think, is that.
Should we go and get some food?
I think you should get some food.
I need to get some food.
I think you should get some food before you eat me. It's about to get society.
Listen, after the tight spaces in the countries and everything else, eating you is not something we need to do.
It's about to get society of the snow up in this bitch.